Natural horsemanship, informally known as horse whispering, is a term for a variety of horse training practices which have seen rapid growth in popularity since the 1980s. Abby Ricketts does horse whispering in Tai Tapu, just south of Christchurch. On his way back from recording stories on Banks Peninsula recently, Cosmo stopped off at Abby's riding school to find out more.
I'm basically teaching people all about natural horsemanship. So I have a small team. My team of horses and ponies is about 7. But I kind of think that the ones I do have, I want to give them the best possible life I can, look after them the best, and just really treat them how horses should be treated. So I'd much rather keep it, you know, my numbers a little bit smaller and give them the best life I can rather than having, you know, 10 to 20 and just being able to struggle to give them all the care that they need. So I'm quite happy to keep it small. Yeah, no, but they're all great, you know, they're all different, they've all got their own characters, and I try to provide a height range and character range, an age range, where I have something for everybody, whether you're completely new to riding, right through to the experienced person that actually wants to do a little bit more, or give natural horsemanship a go and see what it's all about.
What are the techniques behind natural horsemanship?
So natural horsemanship, if people have seen The Horse Whisperer or read the book The Horse Whisperer, it's along those lines. So it's communicating with the horse in their own language, with games that they already know, creating respect, trust, and also enabling a safe and more reliable relationship to happen between the horse and the rider, thus giving you a safer and a more enjoyable ride. And horses will always be horses with instincts inside them. From, you know, centuries ago when they were roaming across hills and their wild instincts are still there. But we can do a lot with the domestic horse to actually help them with that and to help them to see us as friends and not as things that are going to eat them or be predators or going to, excuse being graphic, but rip them apart. So
yes. What's this game that you were playing with the horses today with the rings?
Basically what this is helping the horse used to get used to things on and around their head. Often, obviously, when we go and catch horses, then we want to actually put a halter on them or a bridle on them or something like that. And so what I have is I had a whole load of extra play toys, which are very inexpensive. A lot of the time, people do throw them away and just chuck them away at the dump. But they can be great training tools for horses and ponies to get them used to things on them, around them. And again, realise that they're not going to eat them, they're not going to hurt them, yes, and that everything's absolutely fine.
Just going under the fence here.
Good job.
What sort of techniques were you using before you got into the natural horsemanship?
It was very much sort of domination. And in natural horsemanship, it's actually about working with the horse rather than saying, I'm going to do this and you're going to do it now. You actually give them a series of choices about what you want them to do beforehand, and you just progressively get firmer the more that you ask. So it's actually, it gives the horse some responsibility and gives the horse a bit of a choice about whether they want to respond to what we're asking or not, rather than going in straight with a whip or a big kick or something like that. It teaches the horse to be more responsible, to listen to us and to watch our body language and watch what we're doing a little bit more and pick up on that a little bit sooner. I wouldn't go back now. I get so much more from my horses. I feel so much closer to them just in the whole relationship, and I can understand them so much more. I can now, the big thing I was missing was how to read a horse, which is another part of my lessons, and learning what a horse is telling you.
How can you read a horse? How can you understand what it's trying to tell you?
Basically, from their body language, horses obviously speak all the time to each other using their body, using their eyes, their ears, their mouth, just the way they react to stuff, using their legs, obviously, using their movements, seeing which bit each horse is looking at where and seeing whether that's a you need to move it look or a, okay, that's fine, yeah, you're fine where you are kind of look. So there's a little bit to it, but once you know how to read a horse, you can actually keep yourself a lot safer and spot what they're doing a lot more easily and just be a bit more prepared and just sort of get to know them a bit. And by knowing how to read your horse, you get to know them even better than not knowing. And horses will talk to us all the time. for me, it's about actually getting, being able to understand that so you can give them something back. It's not all about us. It's actually about seeing what the horse is giving you and respecting that too.
Do you teach full-time now? Is this your business?
Yes. Before, I've had all sorts of jobs. I've been a telemarketer. I did retail work in a shop for a while. I did a little bit of door-to-door sales for a while, which was very unsuccessful. I'm so not that sort of person. So I've kind of done various things in my time. I'm actually qualified dog handler and trainer. Qualified vet nurse, so I gave that a go. I didn't get a job, but did the course. And I've worked in the supermarket, and I did do supermarket work and this for a while, just when I got it up and going. But now I'm very, very lucky, and I'm very fortunate that I've got wonderful, wonderful clients that have supported me brilliantly and done really, really well. So now, yes, I'm concentrating this as a full-time entity, and not necessarily, you know, on the greatest wage myself, but that's okay. You do it for the love of it with horses. You don't necessarily do it, you know, for the money. If you do, then you'll be sorely disappointed.
It's not about the money.
No, it isn't. And for me, it's not. It's about giving people a different experience of the horse, an experience where they can actually really enjoy it, really get to know the whole horse, not just how to sit on one, and really form a friendship and a partnership that is valuable, you know, and really, really enjoy the horse and pony for who they are, not necessarily what people expect them to do. And there is an element of that, but I kind of think all of my horses and ponies here, you know, I love them. I couldn't have a favourite because they're all different. And I love them all, each for who they are.
I was going to ask you, which is your favourite horse? But obviously, that's a tough question.
Bash I've had for the longest. So he does have a special bond. He's 22 now, so he's getting on. And I'm not quite sure, to be honest, what I'm going to do when I either have to put him down or, you know, the time comes when he's not around. Because I guess I've known him the longest. And he just, I think he was beaten maybe in his early years. And so he can be quite sceptical about things. He can be a little bit nervous, and he's just got to build up that trust in things and sometimes in people. But he's done lead rides at farm days and taking tiny kids on him, and he's absolutely fine. So, you know, he's it's just him. He just has thoroughbred moments sometimes.
Gosh, you'd wonder why anyone would want to beat a lovely horse.
Yes, to be honest, it's beyond my comprehension too. I fairly recently worked with a whole load of SPCA horses, and there were 32 in the herd, and it actually went to court. And there were 5 horses that couldn't be caught, and they've been trying for 3 years to catch them, and they've pretty much been running wild. And so through one of my clients, they passed my name on to this person who was dealing with the situation. And so I managed to catch 4 out of 5 of those horses. And one of those horses that I caught has recently run one reserve champion at a small show down in Otago Way. And he was one of the ones that couldn't be caught out of the 5, the final ones that just, you know, had been on the run for several years. So it's amazing what you can do if the horse actually gets that trust in you. It's amazing what you can actually do with them.
Why couldn't they be caught?
Basically because they'd been treated badly. They'd pretty much just been left in a paddock to their own devices to a certain extent. I know that during that case, then I think they had to put some of the younger ones down because they had too many worms and were so malnourished they wouldn't grow properly. And I think one couldn't walk out the paddock. And I think there was a stallion that was cooped up in a stall and he was up to his ankles in manure. So I think that's one of my biggest things, is that, you know, it's really unfortunate because horses don't live for 5 years, which is the average, you know, average life of a racehorse. Basically they live for 30, and so for me it's, you train them for the whole 30 years, not just for the first 5, and then you give them a more productive and hopefully a better future rather than just ending up in a can. Great big yawn. That's also because you're relaxed, isn't it, huh? It's also why you guys do yawns. Oh, Ollie, you're a funny guy too, aren't you, huh? You are a funny, funny guy. This guy used to go along. These two love to play, And when he was younger, a couple of years ago, he used to literally grab a stick and he used to go around and try and just nuzzle up to other horses and just poke them and get them to play with it. And these two, and both of these two, they love to pick up a traffic cone. One of the tall traffic cones that I use as obstacles and things like that. And they would literally go around and they would have it hanging out of their mouth and they would walk along with it swinging underneath their neck. And then these two came up with a game of each holding onto it and see who would drop it first. So, you know, they're great characters. They come up with all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff to amuse themselves with.
Horse whisperer Abby Ricketts from Taitapu in Canterbury.